What makes someone a monster? Is it their nature, their actions, or the choices they make when no one is watching? In Joe Abercrombie's The Devils, this question haunts every page as we follow a collection of outcasts bound together by fate and papal decree. The story begins with Alex, a street-smart thief drowning in debt, who discovers she's actually Princess Alexia Pyrogenitos, rightful heir to the serpent throne of Troy. Her half-coin pendant, worn since childhood, matches perfectly with Duke Michael's piece, proof of her royal lineage. But claiming a throne means inheriting enemies. Her aunt Eudoxia was a sorceress who created human-beast hybrids, and now her four cousins vie for power with soldiers, spies, and assassins. To protect Alex, the child pope Benedicta assembles an unlikely protection detail: a necromancer, a vampire, an invisible elf, a tattooed werewolf, and an immortal knight who cannot die, all led by a reluctant monk with zero qualifications for such a mission. Alex's transformation extends beyond trading rags for silks, as Baron Rickard teaches her to replace street stealth with grace. Her rough accent softens into cultured tones. Her defensive posture evolves into regal bearing. Despite initial resistance, she shows surprising aptitude, hinting at deeper royal blood. Meanwhile, she forms an unexpected bond with Sunny, the quiet, invisible elf, their friendship becoming a rare comfort amid constant danger. The journey turns deadly when Duke Martian's forces attack their inn. Fox-headed creatures, remnants of Eudoxia's forbidden experiments, overwhelm guards while a sorceress breaches magical defenses. Balthazar reluctantly animates corpses for defense, and Jacob of Thorn makes a final stand against a goat-headed monster. In the aftermath, Alex makes her pivotal decision through tears. "They want me dead? Well, fuck them! I'm going to Troy!" In Venice, the group faces their most challenging trial, retrieving a white box from Maestro Grimaldi's enchanted house. What seems straightforward becomes nightmarish as the house's architecture traps them in recursive loops, corridors leading nowhere and doors opening to impossible spaces. Each member becomes ensnared in personalized hallucinations. Vega relives her transformation trauma, hearing her mother's haunting words, "You were an animal before the bite. The wolf just showed what was already there." Jacob confronts a forest of hanging corpses wearing his former command's uniforms, forcing him to confront how duty led to violence. Their journey takes a violent turn at sea when Duke Constance attacks with fish-human hybrids. Jacob and Constance duel across the burning deck while Alex and Sunny climb the masts, pursued by wood-shredding crabmen. Below deck, Balthazar discovers Baptiste under a phrenomancer's control. The ship's destruction scatters the group to an abandoned monastery where Duke Sabas waits. Cornered, Balthazar resorts to forbidden necromancy, raising plague victims from mass graves to overwhelm their enemies. Troy overwhelms Alex with its breathtaking scale. The harbor teems with merchant ships from Carthage carrying purple silk, grain barges from Egypt, and Greek war galleys. The legendary pillar dominates the cityscape, rising thousands of feet into clouds with intricate clockwork mechanisms, cascading waterfalls, and hundreds of carved dwellings. Mountain springs feed hidden aqueducts that power innovative lifts while supplying fresh water below. Atop sits the Basilica of the Angelic Visitation, its golden domes gleaming, surrounded by noble residences and administrative buildings forming the empire's heart. Alex's new life includes four handmaidens representing different imperial cultural aspects. In this gilded cage, she finds comfort when Sunny visits through secret passages, their friendship deepening into something more. Meanwhile, Brother Diaz proves a masterful legal strategist, using ancient documents and obscure laws to validate Alex's claim. The political maneuvering culminates when Duke Michael proposes a marriage alliance between Alex and Duke Arcadius, the Empress's eldest son. Despite her private objections and heartbreak over ending her relationship with Sunny, Alex accepts, sacrificing personal happiness for imperial necessity. On her coronation day, Alex becomes Empress of Troy amid elaborate ceremony, feeling dizzy from applause, worn out from expectations, and terrified about ruling an empire and her impending wedding night. Meeting Arcadius brings unexpected relief. They discover mutual compatibility, as he prefers men while she harbors feelings for women. They pragmatically discuss solutions for producing heirs. This relief shatters when Arcadius recognizes Placidia as his mother's apprentice. She unleashes ice magic, freezing and shattering him instantly. Zenonis retaliates with fire, forcing Alex to flee through secret passages that become an inferno. Desperate, she races to the Pharos lighthouse to signal for help using Saint Natalia's eternal flame. Her companions aboard their ship spot the signal and turn back. Duke Michael corners her and reveals his true nature. He manipulated events, using Alex merely as a pawn while consolidating power. He dismissively calls Eudoxia a crippled pervert and Irene a preening do-gooder. As he raises his sword for a fatal blow, Sunny appears like an avenging spirit, creating the crucial moment Alex needs to escape. The battle for Troy's throne culminates in chaos. Viga, Brother Diaz, and Baptiste fight through palace guards, while Alex and Sunny escape handmaidens practicing blood magic. In the throne room, Jakob confronts Duke Michael on the serpent throne, its obsidian scales seemingly alive in the lamplight. Lady Severa reveals herself as Empress Eudoxia, who cheated death through consciousness transfer. She tempts Balthazar with visions where the princes of Europe, the cardinals of the church, even the elves themselves would tremble before us. Viga transforms into the Viga Wolf to battle Eudoxia's chimeric horror, a monster stitched from dozens of victims. Though victorious, the transformation fractures her mind. Duke Michael confesses to poisoning Alex's mother before Jakob, despite grievous wounds, tackles him through the lighthouse window toward the rocks below. The grim aftermath reveals the Viga Wolf's true horror. When returning to human form, she expels black hair and a gold tooth, evidence she killed and consumed Baptiste in her feral state. As Empress, Alex confronts Cardinal Ziska about her treachery. Ziska remains pragmatic, explaining that walking in shadows enables the Pope to stand in light. Alex agrees to consider reuniting the churches, but warns, "It's going to fucking cost you." Jakob, having survived, declines becoming Alex's general, knowing good causes transform him into a devil. Alex gifts him St. Stephen's icon before returning to the Holy City. When she worries about ruling alone, Sunny advises her to do good for everyone else and perhaps save herself. The Chapel of the Holy Expediency, the hidden 13th chapel beyond the 12 virtues, represents the story's moral ambiguity. When Alex expresses doubts to Father Diaz, he credits St. Beatrix for their survival. Alex reminds him, enemies of God saved them. Father Diaz suggests these devils were simply tools St. Beatrix chose to make a thief into an empress. The tale subverts traditional notions of good and evil. Each character carries demons, yet finds humanity within their monstrous nature. Redemption isn't about erasing darkness, but choosing how to use it. Sometimes devils do what angels cannot, walking in darkness so others might stand in light.